through 3 hours of the regular show on terrestrial radio, and you wanted a little bit more, so that's why you found the Gun Talk After Show podcast, where we saved all the best things that we can't say on regular radio. Now, here's Tom, Michelle, and Jim for the Gun Talk After Show.
All right, it is the after show part where we have tons of fun. We got Jim and Michelle. Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
I did want to get this out that the after show is brought to you by Lockdown. You know, you can enter to win with Lockdown's Trust Us Green Looks Good on You giveaway. $250,000 in prizes will be awarded to weekly winners, including a custom Toyota 4Runner.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Guns, gear, game consoles, and more. The weekly prize closing today is an HK SP5K 9mm package with everything you need to hit the range. Sweet stuff. You can follow Lockdown on Facebook and Instagram for weekly prizes, flash giveaways, and additional entries. Enter weekly at lockdown.com/green giveaway.
Cool stuff. So, Tom, how about you wrap this up, and Michelle and I will go enter that contest.
I'm surprised you're still here.
It's a terrible package. No one should enter for that.
No,
thing.
Isn't it? You guys don't.
Yeah,
we'll handle it for you.
Yeah. Now that 4Runner's actually decked out. They've done. They got like $20,000 worth of extra stuff on the 4Runner. It's just cool.
Yep.
It's cool.
Of course.
It really is.
Awesome.
Oh, gosh.
We got them lined up, Tom.
We do. Let's yak with them. Let's go talk with Jay first. He's in Rogers, Arkansas. He's been on hold for a while. Hey, Jay, thank you for your patience, sir.
Howdy, Tom and Michelle and Jim.
Hey. Hi.
What's going on?
I got an interesting situation. I'm a computer programmer 30-plus years, and for years I have been wearing special glasses when I'm working at the computer. And I'm in my late 50s, so about 15 years ago, started wearing bifocals. My optometrist started making me computer glasses with half of my bifocal prescription in the top.
Okay.
Well, I also shoot cowboy action, and when I'm doing the SAS shoots, I found that when I got up the line, if I put my computer glasses on, it makes the front sight a whole lot better, easier to see.
Uh-huh.
And then along about a year ago, I noticed that my accuracy went down the tubes, and I tried to get into the eye doctor, and then COVID hit. I finally got in April, and they couldn't get a prescription that would work. I was getting headaches real bad at work, and I couldn't shoot. I couldn't even see a front sight no matter what I tried. And eventually the eye doctor got to the part in the exam where they used the magnifier and the bright light and then said,
right.
Oh, no wonder. You've got the aggressive kind of cataracts, and they're getting bad fast.
Okay.
So I spent the summer having cataract surgery, and they corrected my distance vision to 20/20 with the implant lenses, and then made me a pair of computer glasses. Okay. And I thought, you know, that works really well. I just put my computer glasses on when I'm at the line of the SAS shoots, and I'm back to shooting like I used to. Mm-hmm. But then I got to thinking about my carry gun, and there's no way I can put shots on target in a self-defense situation.
Yep.
Luckily, my Christmas present two Christmases ago, was a SIG 365 XL.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I got a Romeo Zero now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a red dot sight. Okay, let me go back and explain what just happened here. I was born and grew up really, really, really nearsighted. And
exactly.
Wore glasses from second grade on, and then got the contacts and did the whole deal. So then when I finally got LASIK, which did not go well, I survived it, but then cataract surgery, set up for distance vision. I can see great distances, but I can't see that well close up. You got to have the bifocals or reading glasses. So what you're seeing, I'm just explaining this for everybody else, is you can see fine at distance, but when you put the gun up, it's like the sights are like not just a little bit fuzzy, they're really fuzzy, right?
Okay, so I cannot see anything inside of about 4 feet.
Yeah.
So unless I got a 30-inch barrel sharps, I can't see a front sight. I'm wearing +2.5 readers when I'm sitting in my easy chair reading a magazine.
So quickly.
And +1 readers when I'm sitting at my computer if I don't have my computer glasses with me.
Well, now, if you want to use the iron sights, you know you can do that by doing the whole bifocal at the top of the lens or wearing your computer glasses on the range, and that's what you're doing. But, yeah, to your point is, so what am I going to do? A bad guy's attacking. He said, just a second, let me put on my shooting glasses here.
worse than that, I work from home. My computer glasses sit on my desk in my man cave / office, and I carry around the plus 2.5 readers in case I need to read a label or a price tag when I'm out shopping or something. But I'm not going to have the shooting glasses with the plus one or plus one and a quarter on the, right. even in my pocket if I'm out on the street.
So how's it working with the red dot sight?
Fantastic. I mean, I practiced dry fire quite a bit to get to where I actually, it's now automatic to, it's just like you've talked to, I've heard you mention before, when you first start using the red dot, you come up and then you wiggle the gun around trying to figure out where the dot is.
Yep.
But if you just groove coming up in front of your face and then pushing out, basically like pick up the front sight as soon as it comes in front of your eyes and push it out, except that I'm not looking for the front sight. I'm looking for the dot, but it becomes automatic after a while.
That is so cool. I'm glad you have figured that out. It is a really good option. It's a good tool that we didn't have in the past. What happens, of course, now your vision, your focus is out there on the threat. You just put that red dot up in front of you and, you know, it works. It's a really good solution to the whole, what do they call it, presbyopia, the basic nearsightedness is really what it amounts to. Or in your case, you're out there far side, you can't see stuff near. It really works. I was just going to say, it's not often that technology actually does, in fact, solve a shooting problem. Usually it's a user error or shooter problem. But in this case, this technology really does work.
So the backup gun. Michelle will like this one. My pocket carry gun, the one I throw in my pocket when I don't want to wear the big gun, not that a 365 is that big, but it's a Ruger LCR 327 with laser grip.
Attaboy.
Beautiful, man.
With the laser grip.
Hey, I was going to ask Tom, is there any reason not to couple a laser with his red dot?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Well, now you got two red dots. You got two dots.
Okay.
They don't go to the same place. They're never going to go to the same place.
Right.
So but which one are you going to use?
Well, if the difference is 4 feet, if after 4 feet he's in good shape.
Well, but it's not. The thing is, your laser does not come from the same place as your barrel. So it's got to intersect your line of the bullet. So it will be on, say, at 7 yards. It's off at 3 yards, and it's off at 25 yards.
Right.
The red dot sight is on everywhere. It will be 2 inches off out to about 3 feet, maybe. But really, the red dot is much closer to your bore axis. I would not try to combine a laser and a red dot sight. Now, that's theory. I haven't tried it, but it seems to me you'd end up with a red dot on your optic, and then you're also projecting a red or maybe even a green dot on your target, and you're having to make a split-second decision on which one am I going to use.
Which one you
but
trust.
Yeah, if you had red and green, though, it'd always be Christmas, wouldn't it?
Woohoo!
Always Christmas.
I knew you were going to go there. I just threw it up there, man.
Softball toss.
I was going to say, toss it out there. I do have a question for you. Have you tried to use that as a night defense or a home defense weapon? So when the lights are out, have you played with that a whole lot?
Just a little bit in low light, never in total darkness. My home defense gun is an AR with a red dot on it, has been for years. My backup to that is a Taurus PT-92 with a green laser.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm not breaking in your house.
Second thought.
Just saying.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, you reach for, I don't know where you keep your firearm, if it's holstered or in a nightstand, on your nightstand, whatever it might be. But, you know, typically you're not grabbing your glasses along with that. So, curiosity.
Right.
No, I wouldn't even have my glasses with me.
Right, because they're in a different room.
And on a home defense gun, I have become a huge proponent of keeping a light attached to your gun.
A flashlight.
An actual weapon light.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. But the question is, so with all that gear, what do you use when you just want to take a sound shot? Just kidding. Everybody's going, he didn't really say that, did he?
You had to go there.
Crickets. Just letting it be out there by itself.
Yeah. I want to give everybody a sound by thinking you said, Gresham says you should take sound shots.
Here you go. Here's our sound shot. Ugh.
Thanks. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he did it again.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much. Good info. And we really appreciate you passing along that, because that's a lot of help to a lot of people, man.
Yep.
All righty. Let's go talk to Bill, line three out of North Carolina. Hey, Bill, 500 Smith & Wesson, what do you think?
So what happened was I was saying earlier, in some counties in Maryland, this is years ago when I lived in Maryland. Mm-hmm. I escaped from there, by the way. you couldn't. And that's another subject. I live in North Carolina. I have no place to escape to. Whole other subject. But anyway, you couldn't shoot center fire rifles in certain counties, but you could shoot handguns, center fire handguns.
Okay.
So I was in a Hendershot's up there in Maryland, and they had a performance center of the 500 in there, and I bought it right away. Okay. Well, the muzzle brake on that thing was this cheesy little thing that kind of didn't do anything, to be honest with you. I bought a 4-inch one that had a different type muzzle brake on it, and the 4-inch 500 actually worked pretty good, believe it or not.
Wow.
Okay.
So I was at some gun show someplace, might have been the Harrisburg show, and I asked the Smith & Wesson rep there, I said, you know, the muzzle brake on that 460 really looks great, and the one on my 4-inch is a little different, but seems to work. Why can't you guys make a muzzle brake that will work for a performance center, the highest dollar gun they make, 500? And they says, no, we don't.
End of story.
Okay. So I made one myself.
Oh, really?
Cool.
I'm a Navy research machinist by trade, but I'm a student at Lenoir College here in Lenoir County in Gunsmith School. So I'm a student there. I'm not going to be a gunsmith. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of fun. So I roughed it out on my machine shop here, and then finished it up in over at Lenoir. And like I said, now it shoots like a .38. Only kidding. Mm-hmm. Only kidding.
Let me ask you a question. When you did the brake,
only kidding.
Did you port it in such a way to take into account the torque, the rotation of the pistol to try to undo some of that torque?
No. It's just a, it's as basic as you get. It's got holes drilled through it and countersunk. And that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be shooting the thing at the base of the stand anyway. I really care about the long range stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. But just having shot enough of these, the muzzle brake on the 460, they actually have that port angled a little bit because when that big old bullet hits the rifling, the torque of it, it actually twists twists the revolver in your hand.
Yep.
And if you can basically untorque it or unscrew it out of your hand with the muzzle brake, that helps. In theory, you know, there's a lot of theories about muzzle brakes.
In theory. But, you know, the performance center gun's a great big thing anyway. It comes with a sling, remember? Remember those? There's a sling on it. You put it over your shoulder.
I know. It's
Yeah.
You know,
comes with a sling.
I don't know if you know who J.D. Jones is. He kind of created the whole genre of hunting pistols.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I really ticked. I mean, I made him so mad he pulled his advertising out of our magazine because I said, well, you know, what you got, and I said this in print, I said, what you got there, it's not really a rifle. It's not really a piffle. I mean, not really a pistol. We call it a piffle. And he did not have a sense of humor about that. I'd be calling his guns piffles.
Well, yes, but you know, it was the project wasn't that difficult, and the muzzle brake itself is probably about, I don't remember what I made it, but 2.5 inches long out of stainless and everything, and about the same diameter as the outside of that shroud that goes around the barrel. So it's sizable, which that in and of itself helps.
Have you shot a deer with it?
No, not yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay. It'll work. Trust me.
Not since I've had the muzzle brake on it, but I shot deer with it in Maryland years ago.
Oh, okay.
Sure did.
Works, doesn't it?
The deer both went down.
They fall down.
Yeah, but only one of them got up. That's the good news.
I mean, I'm shooting a 500 grain bullet at them, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, are you casting your own ammunition as well, or are you using factory ammo?
Oh, you know, factory what? I've been reloading since I was 12. The only time I buy factory ammo is just to have a benchmark, a place to go from.
Okay, right. All right, yeah. Right.
But no. All either reloads or new brass and hand loads, one of the two, my whole life.
Fun.
Shotgun, handgun, and rifle.
Okay, stay with us there. Since you've done all that, have you cast bullets?
I was just going to ask him.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a bullet casting story for you guys, told to me by Rob Latham. I got to pass this along or I'll forget it, okay?
Oh, boy.
You guys will love this. It's Mike Dillon. You know Dillon Precision?
Right.
Dillon, okay, reloading?
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years ago, and Dillon is a pilot, he had a P-40 Warhawk, you know, World War II fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, he discovered that there was like 200 and something pounds of lead in this thing, and he took this huge chunk of lead out, and Rob and his dad are looking at this thinking, bullets, baby. We're going to take this big old chunk of lead, and we're going to cut it up, melt it down, and make bullets. And then I guess the story is that Dillon went out and tried to fly the plane, and then he discovered that, you know what, those aircraft designers, there's a reason they put that lead in there. Like for center of gravity, stuff like that.
How about that, right?
Gosh.
How about that, huh?
These engineers.
Huh.
They do it on boats too, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a reason, and there's a certain place it's supposed to be. Yeah.
So you just replaced it with box ammo?
An object flew a fluid.
Yes, exactly right.
Dynamics for it to work.
And you screw up the CG, the center of gravity on an airplane, it can become uncontrollable.
Do it on a boat too, and you'll see the same cross in the sky.
There you go. That's right. So, hey, great story. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're enjoying that revolver. They actually are wonderful. They call that the X frame. Mm-hmm. Huge revolver.
Big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
They are big. Yeah, I've got a 500 and a 460. Really prefer the 460 because with that you can shoot 45s.
Five, long Colt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shoot a little 45 mm-hmm. Colts. It goes pop, 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 piece of cake, nothing to it.
Or Casull.
You can shoot Casull if you mm-hmm. want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, what do those things weigh? It's like 4 or 5 pounds of their revolver. It's crazy.
Right.
Mm. They're huge. There you go. Well, you know what? A revolver that comes with a sling.
You're right. Yeah.
Tells you the whole story.
Piffle. I'm just telling you, piffle.
Piffle. I might use that.
Let's grab Patrick, who's been so patient and hasn't, unless yeah. He's still there.
Speaking of 50 cal.
Yeah. Patrick, you still there?
Still here.
I don't know why.
I find this to be more important than the gobbledygook you guys are talking about.
What's going on?
Well, I have two quick ones. Okay. One may be a little too much for everybody, but NFA gun trust for things like suppressors.
Right.
We are under the impression that Obama did a funny in 2012 and made it so that if you were to pass on, the next person in a trust would have to go through a tax stamp to get a new tax stamp and wait for the period that it takes to get it to be able to take possession of it. Is that a true story?
I do not believe that's correct, because if you are a member of the trust, no individual in the trust actually owns the item. The trust owns the item.
Right.
That's the way I understood it.
There's no transfer at all.
It doesn't have to be just NFA stuff, too, correct? You can have just guns in the trust.
Oh, yeah. You can have a trust that just the trust owns all your guns.
And it's a good option, actually, with some of the stuff going on today.
But what they did do, and you're getting there, Patrick, what they did do before, if you had a trust set up, then you didn't have to go get the permission of the local law enforcement officer, the chief law enforcement officer in your county. And all you had to do was let them know you were doing it, and you did not have to do the fingerprints and photograph thing. After the change, and I think you're right, it was about 2012, if I remember right. Then after that, each person in the trust has to do the fingerprint photograph deal every time you buy something, which You know, if you
every
got several
time?
People, yes.
Every time.
Oh,
every time.
I didn't know
oh,
that.
It's a pain. It's am I right, Michelle?
That's my understanding. Yeah, and, of course, the problem there, too, is if you fall in or out of friendship with such said person on your trust, that becomes an issue as well.
Or if you lost your fingers. That would be another option. Really be in big trouble.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, trying to cover all the bases. You know.
No idea what he's talking about.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
That makes
no
two of us.
Idea. Patrick, I'm sorry. This is just what we do around here. It's like, if you looked up dysfunctional in the dictionary, you'd see our pictures there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
So. Oh, I'm gonna do that right after this. Right after this call.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
All right. And the second question I had for you is on a Barrett M82A1. Mm-hmm. Actually interested in trying to find a thermal imaging scope that will go onto that rifle, good for at least 800 yards, but that will function after the first shot.
I just going to say, they won't go into many pieces.
Ugh.
Exactly.
It's going to be expensive.
Yes. Understood.
Who has that? I'm going to come up with it. I think it is Trigicon has one called the Thor.
That would make sense.
Maybe
Thor.
It's not the ACOG. It's a Thor thermal imaging, and I mean we're talking about like $10,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, but are you talking Trigicon? Or are you talking ATN? ATN makes all the Thors.
Okay, I am thinking of ATN Thor. I'm thinking that Trigicon had one. I'm just trying to think of the toughest. I'm trying to think of the toughest thing out there. But what you really want is something that's military grade.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. ATN has the Thor, and I can't remember what the one the Trigicon had.
Any of the electronic ones hold up?
Thor says that they will not work on a 50.
No,
period.
No, they won't.
Okay.
I mean, Thor is a really good price point, and they do some nice things with it, and it does a lot of cool things like putting the little chip in it. You can record video and stuff, but in terms of putting it on a 50, that's a whole different deal. Take a look at, see what Trigicon might have and look around, but you definitely want something that's military grade, and you're probably going to be looking in the around the $10,000 range, if not more.
Excellent. Same price as a rifle. Why not?
Right. Yes, exactly right. In for a penny, in for a pound.
And the ammo, yeah.
Hey, Tom, who are your buddies out in Nevada?
My buddies?
Yeah, that do the long-range, big weaponry like that.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, tell me.
I'm trying to remember who you're talking about. In Nevada?
I thought they were in Nevada.
Oh, you're talking about the guys at FTN Ranch? FTW Ranch.
Yes.
Oh, that's in Texas.
Texas. Okay, sorry.
Yes. You might check with, a call to the folks at FTW Ranch in Texas. They do a lot of training with military types, and they get to play with cool stuff, and they probably will say, oh, yeah, this is the one that works, and the others don't, because they probably have broken everything.
That's what I needed to know. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you talk to Tim Fallon at FTW Ranch or Doug Pritchard. Doug is the chief instructor, former SEAL sniper dude. Both of them really know their stuff. I love FTW Ranch. It's a great place. If you ever get a chance, you want to go do some training in long-range shooting, great, great place and wonderful people.
Excellent. That's excellent to know. I really appreciate your help with all of this.
You bet. Good luck with it.
When you have all that figured out, we'll come help you shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only if he provides the ammo.
Right, just a round. That's
Holy
all we need.
Moly.
Yeah, if we covered the airfare and he covered the ammo, we'd be ahead of the game.
I was just going to say,
We seem to be in the, 500s, the 50s, all these big, heavy guns for after show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do. First time I shot a 50 cal, I was, you're not going to believe it, we were actually shooting prairie dogs.
Oh, well, that's a great caliber for a prairie dog.
You know, you always say there's no such thing as overkill, Tom.
Yeah, you think we may have gotten close?
It takes the whole family out at once.
Just get close, you know. Gosh. First time I heard one shot, I was like, I don't know, 200 or 300 yards away. I was shooting with the guys from Hornady. And it sounded like a jet fighter going across the valley where it's like you're ripping linen.
Did he hit the prairie dog? Could you tell?
Who knows? It just looks like a mushroom cloud when that bullet hits. It's like,
gosh.
Oh, man. And you shoot it, and then all you do is just smile for a little while. And you go, that is awesome. That is so much fun.
Do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Can I do it again?
I didn't need that shoulder. That elbow? Nah.
Shoot him prone. That way you get the full impact of the recoil.
Sure.
He's in the other valley.
It's even farther now.
That's right. Oh, clavicle? I didn't need that clavicle. Oh. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do some more of this insanity.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid Saint platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each Saint Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new Saint Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim. Always the victor.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter the Maxed Out giveaway. One grand prize winner receives the new Ruger Max 9 micro-sized striker-fired red dot ready 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity, plus a $250 gift certificate to Crossbreed Holsters. Three first prize winners receive a Crossbreed Holsters gift certificate for $250 to use on holsters, belts, and accessories. Enter now through April 30th at guntalk.com/win.
Are you guys still here?
Nope.
Well, question, were we ever really all here?
Yeah, do you mean sound, mind, and body? Or
I didn't say, were you all here? I know the answer to that question.
Touche.
Jeez.
We love ourselves. It's okay.
Well, who else would?
Somebody's got to.
Well, somebody's got to.
At least there's three of us.
If not us, who?
Who?
Yeah. It's not, yeah, something like that. I don't know. Well, fun stuff today. I loved having Jack Carr on, novelist. Mm-hmm. You know, people like that, and our people think, why you got him on? Because they think of things that are out there. They have to go there in their minds for different storylines and everything else. And so it's kind of like when you have, we have Stephen Hunter on all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to develop these storylines, he has to talk to experts, and you actually get some pretty good information. Well, you got to be selective about the ones that really know guns in their novels. And it's just, it's kind of fun. You're going, oh, yeah, he really, it's like when he says, well, you know, this guy is using a P320, and he's got it in this kind of holster, and using this kind of ammo. And you're going, oh, that's just cool. He got it all right. I like that. So if you're into novels, you might try some of the Jack Carr. His protagonist, his hero, is a special forces dude doing all sorts of special forces kind of stuff on an independent commission from the president. It's like, send out this guy and he's going to conquer the world.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's not Shakespeare. It's better than that.
There you go. I personally had the disease of watching any TV show waiting for a gun mistake.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just, oh, there's a gun involved. Okay, where are they going to screw up?
How are they going to mess this one up?
Yeah.
There it is.
And there's usually something. I mean, more times than not, there's something wrong.
Yeah, you're right. That's certainly true.
Yeah.
Double barrel being pump fired?
Yeah, double barrel. Double barrel pump.
Yeah. Your revolver spewing brass.
What I like is, I can't remember what movie it was, but some movie, every time this guy picked up a shotgun, you had the sound of a slide being racked. He wasn't doing anything to the gun. It's just
picked it up.
Picking up the gun made the sound.
Hmm.
And you're going, really? Was there nobody involved with this who knew the difference?
Yeah.
Evidently not.
I was watching something a week or two back. Guy had a 1911, and it was 45, and he cracked off 19 or 20 rounds with that magazine.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was one of those self-reloading. STI double...
just inaccurate.
Shoot. Now, what did you call that? You said that was sound sweetening?
It's called audio sweetening.
Audio sweetening.
Yeah, where, you know, they make a movie and they just either have no audio or the field audio, and then they sweeten it up by putting in fake audio, so when the car comes around the corner and the tires squeal, it all lines up. And
then, of course, you know, in aviation world, we do the same thing. They'll show an old-fashioned round engine motor, and then when it's cranking up, you can hear a turbine engine cranking up. You're going, no, no, you hit the wrong button. Exactly. That's not what it sounds like.
Yep.
It's more like chitty, chitty, bang, bang. It's not, you know, that
right,
sound.
Right.
Same deal.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting. It's
not us?
No.
What?
You'll love this, Jim. We're talking about audio.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happened when we went from shooting film to digital and video and getting the audio is gunshots did not sound right because they clip.
Okay.
They're so loud. I mean, and if you watch people's video, you know, on YouTube, a lot of times the gunshots are like this little bitty tick, tick, tick. And you're thinking, well, that's, I know the gun's louder than that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, and you might explain what clipping is.
Right. It's when it, you've reached maximum volume and anything above that just gets literally clipped off, distorted, clipped off.
Right. When you're recording on reel-to-reel, something like that, you had the whole amplitude all the way up, and so you had these really loud gunshots. So one of the tricks we would do, this is getting esoteric, is we would take a separate recorder, like a Zoom recorder, and it's got two channels. We'd have one set normally and have one set really, really, really low.
Yep. Yep.
And all that is to grab, have enough headroom to grab the gunshot.
Gunshots only, right.
Yes. And you put those together.
Is that how they came up with the industry of electronic earmuffs?
Yes, because it clips. Actually,
that's a
gate.
Hadn't
thought of that.
That is a noise gate.
Because the amplification.
That's interesting, yeah.
Oh, one for me.
Well done. You know, well, I love my,
7 years
I love my electronic
show.
Muff. Oh, that'd be nice, Steve.
My fans are going to call in.
Yeah, no, we have one open line. Yeah, go ahead.
He's out of town now. Okay.
Thanks.
You know, I love my electronic muffs, but I tear them up.
Yeah.
And the batteries are always going dead.
Sure.
You know, and so I just buy a new pair, right? That's what you're supposed to do?
What?
Sure. Yeah, don't buy
rather
new
than battery.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh,
makes sense.
Do they have? I'm sure they do by now.
Solar powered?
Recharge, well, solar powered, but it's that big solar panel on top of your head that's a problem.
Sure. Well
Jim, well, no, you don't have that already.
It's a good look for me.
It's got too much hair to have a solar panel up there.
No, you don't know. There may actually be one in there.
You just don't know it.
It could be.
It's kind of shaded, though.
I don't know, but you know what? Talking about solar stuff and, and red dots and optics, have you messed with the holosuns?
No.
Oh, my.
Yeah?
Cool.
Yeah. Very much so.
Tell me about it.
And just go through any kind of rug-a-maroo that you can put them through. They're pretty fascinating.
Rug-a-maroo?
Rug-a-maroo, yes.
I'm not familiar with
it's
rigmarole.
It's very scientific, but... Jim.
Yeah. There's a creature down here called a rug-a-roo.
Rug-a-roo? Yeah. Well,
yes, that's also known as... That's a
toddler?
Seriously, it is the southern version of a Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
No, the rug-a-roo.
I think I'd say a rug-a-roo would be like a toddler. Or like a little hockey player's a rink rat.
Okay. I thought the ruse were the pants they had to pull. We've gone so far off here.
What?
Gun,
I don't
gun
know.
What?
I don't know. Okay, so tell me about Holosun.
Yeah, and they're priced in all different price points, but it's solar, and, I mean, people have put them through all kinds of tests.
What is it? Is it a sight? Is it a...
Yeah, it's a reflex sight.
Reflex red dot type sight.
And
okay.
So they're... Put them on your ARs or shotguns or whatever you want to, and they just seem to take beatings.
Is it like similar to the Trijicon reflex that used to have the light gatherer up at the top and would redirect light down? Similar to that?
I don't know because I'm not familiar enough with them.
I'm looking at it, but yeah, see, it's got a solar panel on top, so it helps to charge, but it's got to have a battery in there too.
They're not very big. I know that. But
they've got them for like... You know, red dot sights for pistol, but also got kind of a tubular looking thing to put on an AR.
Right.
But
you know, they're economic. They're a nice price point. But
Holosun.
Holosun.
Holosun. For those who are trying to find it right now.
So I thought that would be like an old karate flick. Holosun.
Gosh.
You're so inappropriate.
They're gonna pull the plug.
No, we may have to do it to ourselves.
Right.
It's like, you know.
No, but if you
waste time on us.
Anybody can go out there and look at the reviews, and there's a lot of reviews on them, but very positive testing results.
And
where
they have lasers and red dot sights. And
a couple $100 to $400 or $500.
Really?
Just depends on what you want.
And it's actually, the company is HoloSun.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like HoloSun from Bushnell or something.
Right.
Yeah, HoloSun.
And like everything else in our industry right now, they're tough to get. They're an allocated item, but everything's allocated right now.
Okay, speaking of that, we had the guy that said he had ordered the Loophole Red Dot site that was coming out, and all of a sudden he couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. Same deal, right? I mean, it's just that's what's going on.
It's exactly it. I mean, we're waiting on those micro dots as well because they're pretty fascinating. They're tiny. They're little.
Oh, they're itty bitty things.
Right.
Yes.
And not much weight and not really change your holster or anything like that. But I mean, last fall, Leupold said, we're not taking orders for anything else because we can't get materials to process what we have.
Right.
And so I'm sure that, along with coming out with new product, is an issue.
You know, and somebody at the company, and I'm not picking on Leupold because this is everywhere.
Everybody.
Everybody has said, okay, we'll send these out to the media because we're like, we're 6 weeks away, mm-hmm. you know, so we'll get the lead time on it with all that. And then something happens, they're going, oh, my God, we can't get parts. We can't get what we need. And we have told everybody about it. We've told them all it's coming out.
Right, because we were told.
We
have
these prototypes and,
Yeah, I'm familiar. We were working on a project a year ago that's now a year late.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the same deal. It's like, can't do it and actually. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, and because businesses are having a hard time moving around, getting materials, and I mean, COVID has just hit everything, industry, mm-hmm. shipping, costs of materials, getting in the country, whatnot. People think, oh, there's all this gouging going on, but all of these companies are having to take price increases.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, of course, putting that onto the dealers and goes to the consumer. But
have you bought lumber recently?
Oh,
I was just going to say, plywood in some stores is hitting $100 a sheet.
Yeah.
And
there's 27 last year.
Crazy.
Well, we had a friend that was planning on building a home that has, again, put it on hold for the year because they... Yeah. The cost of lumber, they're not absorbing that. The builder's not absorbing that.
No.
Right.
And there are people, same deal. I know a couple got married last year, and they said, first of all, they couldn't afford a house because the price was going so high, so they mm-hmm. bought some land and thought they would build. Mm-hmm. And now they're looking at it and said, we're just going to wait for the crash.
Right.
We're just going to hold off right now, and after the crash, we'll be able to buy lumber and supplies, and we'll be able to build our house.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe he's right.
Yeah, I feel sorry. I got a buddy who's halfway through the process, and his home's about $60,000 more to finish it. And the bank's like, "We're not giving you any more."
Oh my God!
So it's like he's in a hold panic.
What do you do?
Yep.
And hopefully the place that you're in hasn't sold because a lot of people put their places up for sale, so they were given the money.
Yeah, if you bought land and you're thinking about moving, you got to move out of where you're at. Buy a camper.
I was just gonna say, get a camper.
Yeah.
And if you, I don't know if you know, they're hard to get now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the amount of people, it's been refreshing, but I guess it's where we are with the times where everybody's going back to what we knew. The mm-hmm. amount of fishermen that have been out in the last year is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, more boats on the lake last summer than I had seen before. I guess they got time. They're not working or whatever.
Right. I mean, just the local reservoirs, there's constantly people fishing mm-hmm. where there weren't very many people out there fishing before. And we're in the mecca of walleye and perch,
Walleye, that's some good eating right there.
Yes, sir.
We're the walleye capital, girl.
Yeah. Last year, they weren't allowed to be out there.
Really?
Yeah. They couldn't be that close contact with one another.
Couldn't be that close to the fish.
Right.
Because the fish aren't wearing masks, so what are you going to do,
if
right?
If anybody's ever come down Maumee River way and across 25 right there, Perrysburg and Maumee, you'll know there's people side by side trying to snag their fish.
Yep.
Oops, not snag them.
Oops.
Not supposed to snag. That's right. Oops.
It's hard not to. Actually, it's really hard not to snag.
Really? They're that thick?
Oh, yeah. And it's... Unfortunately, I mean, the upside to last year is we didn't lose anybody, but usually we lose one or two people a year. Their hip waders fill up and
currents
get taken downstream. And, So that's the only upside, but.
If you could fish in teams, you have the upstream person throw in the dynamite, and the downstream person has the net.
Wow. Let me see. Is this something you did in your childhood? Tell us.
Did it involve gunpowder?
You guys heard about that guy that used to catch all the fish, and the game warden kept trying to figure out how he did it.
Yeah.
I think we may have told.
Yeah, we did a couple shows back. Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Great show.
But it's been two shows, so I don't remember. So.
You want to fish or talk?
That's right. You're going to fish, you're going to talk. I like that. So there it is.
So anybody who hasn't heard the joke can go back to listen to our old after shows. And
we did used to take cherry bombs or M80s and rubber band them onto a small piece of brick.
Stop it.
Yes, we did when I was like 14.
So when you were like 45.
Yeah, right. No, about 14, you know.
Just the other day.
Just, and we'd buy those M80s by the gross.
When they were real M80s.
Yes. I mean, they were like, we used to say, oh, yeah, it's like a quarter stick of dynamite. Probably not. But they were big firecrackers, that's mm-hmm. for sure. And they had waterproof fuses.
Yes,
that was the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you could throw them in and go, boom, fish kind of float up. You go, cool.
Tom. Man,
I am such a good fisherman.
What a sportsman, Tom.
I caught all kinds of fish.
That's right. Honey, heat up the grease. Fish are coming up.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody limit out that quick.
And all those different species.
and hoping there are no scuba divers down there.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh gosh.
Ooh. Suck.
I'm sure you get muskrats and all.
Oh yeah, nutria. Yeah. Nutria. I used to dive in that water, and visibility was about a quarter inch.
Ugh.
Pure like coffee with milk in it. That kind of mud water.
Yeah.
You just have to find stuff. But people would call and say, hey, I dropped something in the lake. Can you come find it? You never could. Because nobody ever knew exactly where they were when they dropped it.
Diving by braille?
Oh, yeah. Literally. Put on gloves because you never know what your hands were going to run into. And you're just moving around in the mud trying to find, you know, somebody's eyeglasses. Yeah.
Right.
No. I mean, if you dropped an outboard, we probably could find that one. But, you know, otherwise, probably not. But, you know, I mean, we're like 15, 16 going, this is cool. We get to go put on our scuba gear and go out there and do this thing.
Is there anything you haven't done? I mean, I'm just curious.
Time.
Well, there's that part we don't talk about. There's a little gap in the resume. You know.
Oh, goodness.
You know, we look back. Actually, we did do a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stuff we would never let our kids get away with today.
Oh. We water skied so much that we got bored with skis. And so we started finding other things we could water ski on.
Oh, my God.
Boat paddles are easy. You can water ski on a boat paddle, piece of cake. You can pull the top off of an igloo cooler. You can water ski on that.
I was going to say toboggan, but you probably don't know what those are.
Saw that in cartoons. You can also take a wooden table, turn it upside down, have the four legs sticking up, and you can stand on that and water ski.
I can't believe you survived.
Oh, I know. It's just unbelievable.
You have handles to hold on to. The legs.
I mean, there's just the stuff we did.
You gotta clean some of those fish we blew up. Flip it over.
Surely your dad was not pulling you in the boat when you were trying all these different things.
No, no. By this time, I mean, by 12 or 13, we were running the boats ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
You know, out there mowing grass in the morning to make money for gas. In the afternoon.
Yeah,
we go, you know, burn it all up in the afternoon. It's like put on my football cleats to push the mower, you know, so it'd have more traction.
So were you the originator of the watch this sign?
Oh, no. I think that one predated me by a whole bunch. I think that may have been invented by people with horses.
Oh, okay.
And I never did horses. I will say that. I never did horses. Because you could get hurt doing that. I wouldn't
do
that.
Right. Yeah. Gosh.
Couldn't get hurt doing the other stuff,
You could fall down and get run over by the horse.
Oh, God. We had boats. People get thrown out of boats and it's running wide open. And all of a sudden the motor goes all the way to one side and then the boat's going around in circles. There's wow, wow.
Wow. Gosh.
Trying to stay the hell away from the prop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one guy, we had to just yank him out of the water. He was freaking out because it wasn't his boat. He had borrowed it from his brother-in-law or something.
Oh.
And he was trying to swim up the thing. He was going to cut him in two.
No.
Yeah. Get
just
away.
Grab
him, throw in the boat, and just get away. Exactly. Just wait a while.
It'll run out of gas.
No. You don't understand. Let me describe this body of water I grew up on. It's a lake, right? It's 35 miles long and 100 yards across.
It's like a river.
Mm-hmm. It was literally the Red River that it changed course many years ago and was left with this little trickle. So they dammed it up, and it is a lake. There's no current, but it is 100 yards across and 35 miles long with a little twisty, windy thing. So you could never be more than 50 yards from the shore.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, pretty soon this boat that's going round and round, it's going to go over to the side.
It's going
to hit the bottom.
Yeah.
It's going to shear the pin, or, you know, shear pin or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's going way back for shear pins.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically what we did. That's, you know, or you could throw a rope in there and have the prop get all caught up in the rope. And it'll stop running that
way. As long
way.
As the other
all
end of that
solutions.
Rope isn't tied to you, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. Gosh. Shooting snakes and turtles on the shore all the time.
See, the most fun thing we ever did was shooting rats through Visqueen. Rat shot.
Visqueen? Okay, I get the shooting rats. I don't get the Visqueen.
Visqueen would be put up on the ceiling rafters, the rafter joists, and the rats would, this is at a tropical fish hatchery, and the rats would eat the fish, or try to, and they'd run around on the Visqueen up between the ceiling rafters, and so what you do is you'd go in there at all hours of the day, you know, you just open up the door and they'd start to scatter and you just blow shots into the roof with birdshot.
I
bird
am
shot.
So envious. Oh my
it
God.
It was a blast.
Like
and all it did is, you know, poke holes through the Visqueen. And if you did get a rat, you just slit it with a razor knife and pull the rat out and throw it away and just close the door, wait 10 minutes and go back and do it again.
I'm not sure if that's cool or nasty.
Well, they wanted to get rid of the rats and we made a sport out of it.
Two things can be true at the same time.
Nice.
Oh my!
I'm. Where can I get Visqueen?
Right.
It's probably $100 a roll today.
Yeah, really.
God. You have to go to those cold states where they might still use them to cover up the windows in the winter.
That's right.
So what you do? You'll get your dry cleaning and get that little plastic bag off of it.
Mm-hmm. Close enough.
Pat's gonna be Tom. What are you doing
here,
up in the attic?
Here, rat. That's right. Oh man. I shot a rabid raccoon in our backyard a few years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. Dragging his back legs around. That's a pretty sure sign of rabies.
Yep.
Quacked it. Got it, you know, one shot with a .22, then you get a shovel, because I'm not touching that thing.
He fit on the grill?
They're pretty tasty, actually.
Yeah.
Tom was frothing for a couple of weeks.
You can burn the rabies right out of
him. Get the fire hot enough.
Get a little bit more coals on that fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you don't have to worry about that because as the grease drips. And
that's right. Keep the fire keeps on going. No, that's possums. Now, they're greasy.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
And exceptionally good for the ecology.
And, yes, and you get, of course, an armadillo, which is also known as possum on the half shell.
Yes.
I love that. That's great.
So much for cooking with Gun Talk.
Yeah.
Right. But can you get the armadillos? In months that end in R only.
We got them all over our backyard right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got dillers. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not great. They're not great critters. They're not.
Especially not up around your foundation.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when you chase them, if you get real close to them, they will jump up and scare the devil out of you. Come up just about face high as you're reaching over to try to grab one.
They make hissing sounds like... Coons can.
Not after you shoot them, they don't.
They're crazy-looking creatures.
They are, aren't they?
It's amazing that, as you travel, how different the animals are.
Yeah, it's the armadillo. It's the only animal besides us that can get leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Try to get that nowadays. That's really expensive.
We had a leper colony in Louisiana.
Did you?
Yes. Sure
wow.
Did. Yeah.
Are there modern-day treatments for that? Here on Gun Talk, we're discussing...
We're so far gone, we can't see the rails anymore.
You're not only off of them, you don't even remember them.
They're just out there. I don't know.
They're just a memory.
There it is. That's all I ever have.
Well, we could end it and solve everybody's misery, kind of put it to an end.
Let's put ourselves out of our own misery.
There you go.
And everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
Catherine
that.
Bates.
Misery.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Bates.
She was great.
And?
Jimmy Kahn.
Yes, James Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
She was scary in the movie.
I see her in any movie since then. I'm still scared of her.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how good she was.
No, it's Kathy Bates. Oh, no. That's right. Not the legs. No.
Now people
are going to have to go watch that.
My ankles are hurting.
Yeah, really.
Just talking about her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, my big score was finding 9mm factory ammo for $17 a box of 50.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's where you pay the local kids $3 a box to go buy one for you.
Yes. No kidding. Just, you know,
No, they have to be 21.
Yeah.
Can't buy it.
I love it. Well, at our age, 21 is kids.
True. Oh, boy. All right, guys, have a great week.
All right. Well, that wraps up another Gun Talk After Show. But if you want even more gun-related stuff, don't forget to check out Gundealio. It's the app for Apple and Android phones that connects you to all the Gun Talk shows, plus even more. And we'll catch you next time for the Gun Talk After Show.